Hello, art historians. Welcome back to another episode of Art as We Know It. Before we get into this week's episode, please be aware that some topics discussed today might be triggering for some people. Those topics include or are surrounding the COVID pandemic, the bubonic plague, also the AIDS pandemic, and imagery depicting or surrounding ideas of death in multiple cultures. If those are things that might be triggering to you, please be cautious as you listen to this episode.
Live from F102 in our hearts, this is Art as We Know It. Welcome to episode 2 of season 3. With this podcast, we hope to share our art knowledge and help inspire others to find art in their daily lives. Today on the podcast, we have Gerardo, Sunara, and Samantha. Our main topic for today is the art of plagues. But before we dive into it, let's hear from Samantha with Today in Art History.
On this day, November 11th in 1923, the amateur German artist Adolf Hitler was arrested for his crimes of high treason following the attempted siege of the Bavarian government. Hitler went on to have a notable career with other war crimes, but sadly, he never returned to art.
Thanks for that, Samantha. So that leads us right into today's trivia question. Something to think about. What is the deadliest pandemic in history? Do you guys have any guesses yet?
I don't think it's the COVID. Plague.
Yeah, not COVID. COVID's too new. Maybe in the future. Ask us in 20 years.
Yes. Okay. So that leads us right into our topic of discussion for today. So to start us off, I have an artwork to show you guys today. So this is called The Triumph of Death with the Dance of Death by Giacomo Berlone de Bercis, located in Clusone, Italy. So for those of you at home, this artwork is split into registers or levels. So the bottom register depicts several figures of different social classes walking with skeletons, and they're walking to join Death, who is depicted in the upper register. The interesting thing about this piece, to me, is the depiction of Death. First of all, Death is female, and she is a crowned skeleton queen with swinging scrolls in both of her hands. She has two skeletons beside her, and they're killing people with a bow and arrow, and they stand below her throne. We also see a group of priests and knights, basically the upper echelon of society, and they're begging for mercy and offering gifts. This piece is obviously religious in nature, but I think that its interpretation in a modern context can be more meaningful. In the end, death comes to every person regardless of class, wealth, or status. So considering this and the situation that we're in right now, how does the representation of death in this piece apply to our society today? Are there any notable figures who have shown their true character in this pandemic that comes to mind for either of you?
The main person I can think of is Fauci, but he would be like the king of life in my eyes, because he's trying to, at least he hasn't been a very like public as much as back in March when it first hit, but he was trying to like give out the true information, and the president fired him because he wouldn't like say what the president wanted, because he was a real scientist trying to help out during a pandemic. I'm not saying the president is death, but like it's an interpretation. You never know.
I mean, another figure that I've noticed, I believe he faced like a realization compared to Trump, was Boris Johnson. He actually experienced the virus firsthand. And as a result, he was more aware of the situation that even himself as someone at the very top in Britain is able to come down with a severe virus and be at the brink of death, basically.
That's really interesting. I never knew that he had the virus. Shifting away from COVID and more into the representation of death in art and culture. Considering that we're all from different cultural backgrounds, do you guys have anything interesting from your backgrounds to share concerning the depiction or interpretation of death?
Weirdly, no. Judaism, I think, at least what I've seen, doesn't really focus on it too much. I don't think Jews believe in a hell. I think we believe that everyone eventually goes to heaven. Maybe, like, have you guys seen the TV show The Good Place?
Yes.
I think it's like we all believe that people will get into heaven as long as they keep going through, like, trials and, like, become a better person. Kind of like The Good Place. That show's kind of Jewish now I think about it. But, yeah, there's not, like, a prominent Grim Reaper figure in my culture.
Oh, Grim Reaper. I think that's a good connection to make because I do think the depiction of death in this piece is very similar to a Grim Reaper-like figure. In my culture, which I guess would be Islamic culture, we have very specific distinctions in the afterlife. So there is a very clear distinction between heaven and hell, but also within those, there are different levels of heaven and hell that a person can achieve. The goal is that you are pious enough and, you know, commit enough good deeds to get to the highest level because that brings you closer to God. But also, there are different levels of goodness, I guess. There are people who aren't terrible, but they're not great either. And so they're in lower levels of heaven in that sense. Gerardo, do you have anything to share about your culture?
I mean, coming from a Mexican and Japanese background, it's like, my Mexican side is more like Christian based and my Japanese side is like Buddhist. So it's like completely different ideas. Like one is reincarnation Buddhism and the other one is the belief of heaven and hell. And I just think that people treat life, I don't know. I feel like people treat life differently, having the aspect of what's going to happen to them in the afterlife.
All right. So, Gerardo, if you want to go into talking about Justinian's plague.
The biggest plague that I could think about was the bubonic plague. And the ones that I will be introducing are Justinian's plague and the Black Death. And Justinian's plague was around 541 to 542. And due to the immense wealth that they had in the Justinian Empire, they were able to illustrate artworks, and the main way they did this was to illustrate death and the symptoms of this plague. And during this time period, this was unheard of, but due to the lack of sanitation and the disease in general, it took a great toll to the population. There was a lot of dead bodies on the streets, and later on, the Black Death came along. And that was from 1346 to 1353. Once again, it consisted of the bubonic plague, and it was a detrimental time period. This time period provided the idea of realism through death of the ideas of hell. And heaven and the idea of religion was not protecting the people from the plague, which further developed the ideas of realism. What was depicted in these artworks consisted of rats, skeletons, and massive amounts of dead bodies. And were exemplified to demonstrate the negative effects of this plague. In general, these paintings have a darker tone to them, with exceptions of the amount. There wasn't many religious paintings, but they were more bright and vivid. And those religious paintings' main purpose was to demonstrate hope despite these times of death and pain. In addition, this disease had affected music, visual art, and literature during this time period. Death was illustrated in the bubonic plague through hell, Satan, Grim Reaper, and especially the iconic plague doctors. And due to the lack of sanitation, I believe the negative effects were more exemplified due to the severity of the symptoms and death present throughout the population. And I will transition this to Samantha over the HIV/AIDS crisis.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to talk about the HIV/AIDS crisis. This epidemic was a lot different than the current one, as it mainly affected LGBT plus people in the beginning, as it was transmitted through the STD HIV, and it could develop into AIDS. Today, there are more than 1.1 million people living with HIV, and more than 700,000 people with AIDS have died since the beginning of the epidemic in the 1980s. I'm going to share three artworks. So the first artwork I'd like to mention is called General Idea AIDS, which uses the style of another artwork, Robert Indiana's Love, changing art from the 1960s into an icon for the 1980s. While Indiana's Love image was a plea for brotherly love and sexual freedom, General Idea's AIDS poster calls on the power of love in the crisis. It's a reminder that the AIDS crisis is not over and it's not limited to any one community. And it was spread throughout New York in like 1987 when it first came around. And so what it looks like, so the listeners can picture it, is it's the words, the original one was the words love, and it had a bunch of different colors, and it was in all caps, and it like formed a square with like each letter in a corner, and it was very big, and that got replaced with AIDS. So that's what that looked like. And then the second artwork that dives further into alerting the public about HIV and AIDS was Silence Equals Death Project, and it was created in 1987, and it was spread around New York and other cities as well. It's a black background with a pink triangle in the middle and the words silence equals death at the bottom. It's very abstract. They created the Silence Equals Death poster with influences of the persecution of homosexuals in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 1940s. So that's where the imagery comes from. In my opinion, the saddest of these three artworks is the poster, is a poster called I Have AIDS, Please Hug Me. It depicts the title words in a child's handwriting, with a drawing of a boy frowning with his arms open in a patch of flowers. And at the bottom, it says, I can't make you sick. It was inspired by the experience of Ryan White, who was a 13-year-old hemophiliac with AIDS, who was barred from school in 1985 and became a symbol of intolerance that was inflicted on AIDS victims. This poster reflected the changed tone of media coverage of AIDS following Ryan White's courageous battle, which helped shift the focus from ignorance and discrimination to acceptance and newfound knowledge of the disease. I think it's interesting that pieces of art were used to inform and remind the public about the crisis, because during the 80s, many Americans did not take it seriously, since it mainly affected the LGBTQ plus community, and they weren't even allowed to marry until 30 years later. The 80s was such a different time. So it's just interesting to think about which of the three artworks that I've mentioned and described resonates with you guys the most.
I think that also the I Have AIDS, Please Hug Me poster is pretty resonant. I mean, this entire epidemic that you described, I think that it's very saddening because it wasn't taken as seriously as it should have been. I mean, a lot of people tried to, you know, sweep it under the rug, make it seem like it wasn't as big a deal as it was, and that it was someone's fault, a group of people's fault for having it in the first place. But we know now that's completely wrong. But I think what's interesting and shows a really big contrast between the art that was produced during the Justinian plague and the art that's produced during the AIDS epidemic and the art that's produced now from COVID. I mean, from Justinian's era, the art there was mainly influenced by the wealthy, and it depicted the interests of the wealthy. And yes, it depicted the plague that was going on at the time, and the views were changing. But again, these were the views of the elite classes. What I think is interesting about the art that Gerardo was talking about is it shows how this plague basically changed the art world forever, because people are starting to create more enlightened artwork where people are in control rather than religious forces. But with the AIDS crisis, I think what's interesting to note is kind of a parallel situation to the one we're in now, where art is being used more and more for social change and to call upon some sort of action to be taken for negligent politicians or people in power.
Okay, so from these three pieces, I really liked all three of them in general because how it's simplistic. And as a result, I'm able to understand it. And if I'm able to understand it, most people are able to understand it as well. So the third piece, especially, I have AIDS, please hug me. It looks like a child's drawing. And knowing that children are viewed as innocent, in a sense, and aren't fully realized into this world, the sense of realization, I believe that it presents more meaning to myself, especially as a teenager and soon to be an adult entering in this real world. Like when I was younger, I didn't actually know that this epidemic was going on. And it really shows that artworks really demonstrate even to the future that these events did happen and still affect people to this day. And I just think that's important to me, especially how we should reflect on previous artworks and have a better understanding of it so that we're able to further have knowledge in them. Okay, so going off of Samantha, the next pandemic that I could think of after the AIDS crisis was the COVID-19 pandemic. And I want to open this discussion up to you guys. And I want to ask, how has art been influenced by the COVID-19 pandemic?
In my opinion, I think pop culture in general is just has evolved at such a rate compared to the past. I mean, everybody has phones these days. Everybody is using social media. Everybody knows what TikTok is, whether you have one or not. I think that in a way that could be viewed as art as well. Sharing a social media post doesn't have the... It has, I would say, more power these days than sharing a social media post in like 2010. I mean, social media has been used as such a beacon of social change. People are constantly posting things to bring awareness, and especially considering the ongoing social movements we have going on right now and the way that the COVID crisis has been handled, I think that art in this time has just been more unifying than it has been ever before.
Yeah, I completely agree, because maybe it's just because the COVID pandemic is still so new, but there isn't like a major piece of artwork that I can think of. I can think of like graphs and charts and like anything on news channels. But the main thing I think that's been spreading information is infographics on Instagram, to be real, where it's like a bunch of different slides and it's about a cause. And I think the COVID pandemic isn't taken very seriously. But I think because we're all trapped in our homes, other things are taken seriously, like social change. And I've seen a lot more information and things within our culture alerting people about what's going on in different places, like in China or in Nigeria, that needs our help, that because of COVID, we have extra time that we wouldn't have, that where we can educate ourselves and learn about other topics. But thinking about COVID, there isn't like something I can really think of, maybe like masks. People have drawn masks, but it's not our big landmark piece of art yet.
So that's something for our audience to think about. How is art affecting the way that you perceive COVID and what you're aware about? So that brings us to the end of our episode. The answer to our trivia question from the beginning of the episode, what is the deadliest pandemic in history? The answer was covered in this episode here, the Plague of Justinian. It was considered the first plague pandemic in history and is named after Roman Emperor Justinian, who contracted and recovered from this plague. It killed an estimated 25 to 100 million people.
Wow, first and most devastating. It really, Plague of Justinian made itself known. But that's all from us today. We hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for another episode of Art as We Know It next week. Smash that like button.